How did the coach of Argentina's national soccer team disappear from the internet's two largest search engines? And how is the founder of Craigslist.org helping to take nerd values into the mainstream? The answers to these questions and more on this week's Berkman Radio. Let's face it, if you've been on the internet, chances are you've probably Googled yourself just to see how popular you are and what people are saying about you. Well, if you are a famous celebrity in Argentina, there's a chance you won't find anything when you search for your name on that country's versions of Google and Yahoo, and it's not because the internet is ignoring you. How did this happen? David Weinberger speaks to Chris Zagoyan of the Berkman Center for Internet and Society to find out.
Hi, Chris.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. So there have been some interesting things going on in Argentina with searches.
You're right. So it's actually been going on for about 2 years, although it's heated up in the last 4 or 5 months. Interestingly, Argentina is now the first country in the world where if you sit down at a computer and you type in specific terms into a search engine, you'll get zero results back. Terms that in any other country, or up until the orders had been filed in court, you'd be getting millions of results back.
So these must be state security, or it must be pornography or something like that.
Well, funnily enough, it actually started as pornography. So there are about 120 celebrities in Argentina who were concerned that companies, mainly outside of the country, were using their names in what are called meta tags in web pages. The idea being that you would type in Diego Maradona, who's a famous footballer. You would type his name into the search engine, and then you would get results back for porno sites. So Diego Maradona, he's getting fairly old at this point, so no one really wants to look at Diego porn, but there are hundreds of soap opera stars and TV actors and actresses who people are interested in looking at the lewd photos of. And so there was a thriving industry in sites that were attempting, just like in the States, getting people to look at celebrity porn. So that's sort of where this started. A few plaintiffs approached a lawyer, and she went to court and got temporary restraining orders against two of the major search engines, so Yahoo and Google, their Argentina sites. So initially, the orders were related to specific searches. So the lawyer would say, this is a website that has defamatory material or otherwise bad material. Remove this from your search index.
So you would search for the person and porn, and you'd get back some list, but not the ones that had been specified.
Exactly. The websites listed in the restraining orders, they would have been scrubbed silently from the search results. Silently in Yahoo's case, and with Google, they in many cases would at least tell people that the results had been removed, and then they would point you to chillingeffects.org, which hosts takedown orders. So about a year and a half, 2 years ago, these temporary restraining orders started, and they would be for specific sites. And then as the lawyer got confident, she was getting 80-90% success rate. As she got confident, the orders started getting more and more vague. So it stopped being, please remove this specific URL, and started becoming, remove all sites that contain nude photos, or remove all sites that contain defamatory or offensive material about my client. And then it started expanding more and more. In the case of Diego Maradona, this footballer, he got an order in September, and pretty soon after that, his lawyer expanded it to include any sites that contained defamatory information about 33 members of his family. The search engines, both Yahoo and Google, are being inundated with requests. I'm told that on a weekly basis, they receive updated restraining orders with new URLs, new terms, in many cases, they're hybrid orders. So there'll be a list of URLs, and there'll also be just a bunch of terms that say, please block things that match the following description. Neither Google or Yahoo really want to be in the position of judging what is offensive or what is defamatory or what is rude or what is lewd. And so Yahoo has interpreted this to just block everything. So rather than deal with the manual task of figuring out which websites on the internet contain lewd information, they've just instituted a block on all searches for Diego Maradona.
About how many celebrities?
There are about 110, 120 celebrities who are clients of this lawyer. We're not sure how many are leading to zero results, but we know at least a handful are resulting in zero responses. But both companies are fighting this out in court. Both companies have been fined repeatedly for non-compliance or insufficient compliance with some of the orders. So if you sit down at Yahoo Argentina and you type in Diego Maradona, you get zero results. Now, you can easily go to Yahoo Chile, Yahoo Spain, Yahoo Mexico, Yahoo US, and you get 2 million results for Diego Maradona. So this is a specific filtering for this one Argentine search page. And so up until about a week ago, Yahoo was silently removing these results. And then on Monday of last week, they changed their policy, and they're now giving users notice to tell them that as a result of civil action, they've been forced to remove search results.
And presumably, you don't have to be a celebrity in order to, in Argentina, to bring a similar sort of suit.
No, but you do have to have money, right? Because you have to pay this lawyer. Now, she is seeking, I think, $100,000 in damages from Google and Yahoo, but I don't know if she requires a retainer or if she just is willing to do it for free and then take half of whatever she earns. I mean, at this point, I suspect that it's almost like a factory line. You know, she has all the orders ready to go, and she just copies and pastes the client's name and sends them off to the court. The reason this issue is so interesting is not the fact that you get zero results. It's the fact that this is one lawyer. In every instance in other countries of this sort of thing happening, it's been as a result of governmental policy. The only instance where that's not sort of true is in the States with regard to copyright-related things. So, for example, the Church of Scientology routinely gets things taken down that they claim are copyrighted material. But those are specific results, and those are not a blanket ban. In Argentina, we have a blanket ban on information that's being implemented as a result of private action. I think that combination of the totality and the source, or the source of the action, I think make things particularly interesting for those of us who care about technology policy and the effect of search engines on our lives.
What ultimately do you think Yahoo and Google's response will be in Argentina?
Both companies are basically being dragged into court on a weekly basis. They're being fined. They're having to dedicate significant engineering resources to updating these lists, filtering these results. You know, for both companies, at a certain point, they're probably just going to say that it's not worth it for them to be physically based in Argentina anymore. Now, they can still serve up millions of page views a month to Argentine users from Miami or from a country next door. They don't need to physically be in Argentina. And so I think eventually they're probably just going to close up shop, move their sales staff next to a country nearby, and tell the Argentine government to get lost.
So is there any real possibility that this approach might be adopted in, first of all, in the States, but in other countries around the world?
So I think it's also important to note that these are all temporary restraining orders. So none of this stuff has actually gone and worked its way through the courts yet. The court cases are being dragged on, and the lawyer doesn't really have any incentive to see it come to an end anytime soon. But, you know, it's quite possible that after everything works out in the end, maybe it'll get thrown out, and then Google and Yahoo will be able to have full results again. Your question before was whether this would happen in the States, and the answer to that is no. You know, the appropriate action both in Argentina and in the States, that what should be happening is if you're a celebrity and you feel like, or an individual, you feel like someone is posting defamatory things about you, you should go after the source. You should go after the person who created that webpage. In this instance, the lawyer doesn't want to go after them because they don't have lots of money. Maybe they're tough to identify. For whatever reason, they're just going after Google and Yahoo because they're easy, they have deep pockets, and she knows where they are. In the States, we have something called Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which means that websites are not responsible for the content created by their users. And it's for this reason that we can have things like Craigslist and bulletin boards and email providers and blogs. You know, if Blogger were responsible for everything that every one of their customers wrote, the hosting site, they would be bankrupt. Or if you, as an individual who has a blog, were responsible for the comments left on your blog site, I mean, I write a blog at CNET, and some of my comments are insanely offensive and rather crazy. And if I were responsible for those, I'd go bankrupt. So it's, you know, CDA 230, this safe harbor in U.S. law, in many ways is responsible for the success of the internet. What is happening in Argentina just wouldn't happen here because of that. Now, if they take 230 away, that could lead to potentially troubling things, and search engines could get dragged into court for this kind of stuff. There are people who are not a big fan of some of the more offensive content on the internet. There are sites like one of the most famous sites that has offensive content is called 4chan, which is where the lolcats meme, where the Palin email hacker hung out, where the anonymous group who have been taunting the Scientologists congregate. I mean, it's a melting pot, if you will, of the internet, and that brings both the good and the bad, and sometimes even more bad. And 4chan is an anonymous website. There are many other places where anonymous people congregate and post things. And legislators and concerned individuals would rather that there not be anonymity on the internet. They would rather that sites have an incentive to identify their users, and one of the best ways to incentivize sites to identify their users is to make them responsible for what their users say. You never know what happens. There's this example, or this phrase of bad cases make for bad law, right? And you know, there could be some incident. You know, for example, we have this MySpace suicide case in the Midwest that's now being prosecuted in California. That, you know, there could be some horrible incident involving, you know, rape or suicide or something just that's a really emotionally charged that then causes Congress to react.
Thank you very much, Chris.
It's been a pleasure.
Classified site and mega forum Craigslist.org has fundamentally changed how people find apartments, jobs, cars, and even spouses. But have the so-called nerd values behind Craigslist had an impact on culture as a whole?
I'm with Craig Newmark, founder and chairman of the board and, most important, customer service representative at Craigslist. Hi, Craig.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
So, Craig, you identify yourself as a nerd, and you publicly embrace your nerd values, as you say, and yet Craigslist has achieved this incredible popularity, I mean, all across the spectrum, not just nerds. Do you think your nerd values are reflected in Craigslist, and do you think we're all becoming nerds now?
The remark is facetious, but the reality I'm trying to get to is that for the most part, people are comfortable, you know, just making a comfortable living and not caring about making lots of money and getting lots of stuff. Beyond that, a surprising number of people, once they're doing okay, just want to change things for the better. The sociologists tell us that what I think I'm seeing among the young, that they have this greater need to change things and matter in ways that matter, that appears to be for real.
As we look forward to new opportunities to engage in new civic ways, what is it that we should learn about democracy from Craigslist?
You know, not much from our site itself, just the notion that people should be working with each other and giving each other a break. Beyond that, the message is that things are happening. The transition will be awkward and longer than we want, but there will be more and more opportunities for people to work with each other, to help each other out in ways that actually matter and get results.
Thanks very much, Craig. Thanks for coming to the Berkman Center today. And if anybody wants to hear you at greater length, and I'm sure everybody does, they can hear the entire hour discussion that you just held by going to the Berkman website.
Sounds like punishment to me.
It was delightful.
And you can catch Craig Newmark's full talk on our sister podcast on iTunes, Audio Berkman, or on the Berkman Center website at cyber.law.harvard.edu. This episode of Berkman Radio was produced by Daniel Jones at the Berkman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard University.